Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
12 o'clock hour. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3. The game. We are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. All brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We say hello to our friend Trey Wingo. Been a minute. Trey, how you been?
How are you, guys? Great to be back with you.
Yeah, doing fantastic. Half Forgotten History, that's the podcast. You're doing stuff with Caesar. So let's start with that. What all are you doing these days? Because I know you're everywhere.
Well, I work with my good friends at Caesar Sportsbook. They gave me the greatest title ever, Chief Trends Officer and Brand Ambassador.
Nice.
What that means is I help people talk about football. Like, I don't set the odds or much greater people than me, but like, for example, the Chiefs coming off a loss last week are actually a favorite in San Francisco when they head up there this week. Why? Well, because the Chiefs have won 13 straight games against NFC opponents. That's the second longest interconference streak in the history of the NFL. The only one that's longer was 17 straight by the Patriots from 2005 to 2009. That kind of stuff. That's sort of the stuff that I help people understand why the odds are the way they are. The podcast is going great. Thank you. We just dropped Luke Kuechly yesterday. And that's doing great. Already over 100,000 views on YouTube, and work for Pro Football Network as well. Mark Schlereth and I have a show on Spotify Live every Monday at 6 o'clock Eastern. And I also work with the 33rd Team, which is a great collection of former players, coaches, and GMs put together by the guy that used to run the NFL Today on CBS. So we're excited about the stuff we're doing there as well.
Very, very cool. You know, you talk about some of the odds and, like, helping people with that and talk about football. I mean, last weekend in the NFL was an interesting week, because I think the dogs were a-barking last week.
Yeah. Well, listen, we had two dogs of 7.5 or more win. The Jets went up to Green Bay and ended the Packers' 15-game home regular season winning streak at Lambeau, and then the Steelers were 10-point underdogs against the Bucs and Tom Brady, and they came away and hung on to that win 20-18. Right now, by the way, for the year, if NFL underdogs were baseball players, they'd all be in the Hall of Fame. They're batting 400. 40%
wow.
Straight out wins for the underdogs this year. It's been absolutely crazy, and it just shows you the parity in the NFL right now.
Trey, you've covered the NFL for a long time, and I look at this season, you know, right here in Nashville, as we're watching the Titans, and they're trying to blow, you know, second half leads, and they've won three in a row, and it's hard to figure out where they're at. But it's honestly, outside of a handful of a couple of teams, the Bills, maybe the Chiefs, put them in there. It's hard to figure out exactly what this league is right now, because parity, I think, is the best that it's been in a long time. Would you agree with that?
I would. And, like, I would even say, look, definitively, how strongly do I believe that two teams have a chance to go very far in the postseason? I believe it's the Bills and the Chiefs. People say, well, what about the Eagles? Listen, the Eagles look great. But, you know, a lot of teams go 6-0, and a lot of teams don't win at all. Like, for example, the last undefeated team to actually win the Super Bowl was the Colts in 2006 in Super Bowl 41. So it's great. They're off to a wonderful start, but let's just go through the last three Super Bowl champions, right? After a loss in Nashville in 2019, in that crazy game where there was a block kick returned and all this kind of stuff, the Chiefs fell to 7-4, and then they went on to not lose again and went to win Super Bowl 54. The year after that, in 2020, Tom Brady and the Bucs could not find their way through their first 12 games. They were 7-5 through 12 games, and then didn't lose again, found a way to go on to win the Super Bowl. And just last year, after Robert Woods went down and they brought in Odell Beckham Jr., the Rams suffered their first three-game losing streak ever under Sean McVay, and no one could figure out what they were going to do. They figured it out, went on to win. So it's nice to have a great start, but it really doesn't mean anything. It's who's playing best at the end of the season. I do like the Chiefs and the Bills more than almost anybody. And after that, right now, it's really wide open.
Yeah, you're right, Trey. The NFL is more so a war of attrition. Whoever can hold on the longest toward the end. That's why you typically see, you know, come late November, December, these teams start to separate themselves. You find out who the better teams are in the National Football League and who's not. But one question I do want to ask you, and we talked about this yesterday in regards to Tom Brady. He had to answer some questions yesterday, and he definitively said, listen, I don't plan on retiring no time soon. Do you think that's his true sentiment? Do you think because I told the guys, I said, listen, if the season continues to go the way it's going, I don't think Tom is retiring. I think he wants to go out the way he wants to go out, and it's on a winning note. I don't think that he's going to, you know, the Bucs end up not making the playoff and then Tom Brady sort of retires and go do his media stuff. I think he wants to leave out on top. Do you think he retires after this season either way?
Well, first of all, you know better this than anyone. I think everyone wants to finish out on top. Most of the time, you don't get to choose. You know what I mean? You don't get to choose. There are very few John Elways and Peyton Mannings in the world that ride out a winner the way those two guys did. And I've been sort of saying this jokingly all year, so bear with me. I think Tom Brady's already retired, and he's still playing. I mean, you know, come on. Like, he takes every Wednesday off? That's installment day. You know, he gets 11 days off of practice. Jason Kelce does a podcast with his brother Travis, and he had a great quip because, you know, there was this line of Brady, like, just absolutely annihilating his offensive linemen on the sidelines at Pittsburgh. Just in their faces. You know, at some point, if I'm one of those guys, I'm going to say, bro, like, maybe if you hadn't skipped training camp, maybe if you're not missing every Wednesday, maybe you hadn't missed the Saturday walkthrough to go to Bob Kraft's wedding, maybe this might be better, you know? I get it. Tom Brady's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. I don't think that's ever going to be disputed because of the numbers he's put up, especially the Super Bowl rings. But at some point, you're either in or you're out. And I don't know right now whether Tom is in or out, no matter what he says.
Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars. This team is a, if you look at their roster, I mean, they got a really, really good young roster. But the key word is a good young roster. What do you think about them moving forward?
Well, it's interesting, right? What you just said is so important, and you know this. And my friend Teddy Bruschi used to say this all the time. It's one thing to have a bunch of good players. It's another thing to have a good team. And I think that we have a bunch of good players in Jacksonville. The question is, how quickly can they become a good team? Mm-hmm. And this week, by the way, is one of those games where you just wonder if the folks in Vegas know something the rest of us don't. Because the Giants are 5-1. Jacksonville has basically been treading water. And they're a 3.5-point favorite against a 5-1 team. And that's one of those ones that makes you go, huh. You know, usually somebody somewhere knows something. It feels like somebody knows something in terms of this game. I like Jacksonville. I love the fact that they actually have an actual head coach, you know, this year. Someone that's actually interested and is good at doing it, as opposed to just standing there yelling at players. But I think this is a real pivotal week for Jacksonville. If they can hold on here, I think then things get really interesting in that entire division, the AFC South.
We're talking to Trey Wingo, talking some NFL football here. So, Trey, on a related
note. Real quickly, before I say anything else, I guess say Mike Vrabel's a hero for the reply all to that email? Like, that's the hero we need, because I get it. Like, I understand what the situation with Tua. You want to make sure they're protected. Well, you messed that up on Sunday against the Bills when he should have never come back in that game. But, I mean, like, just call roughing the passer the way it's written. Flung to the ground. Grady Jarrett did not sling Tom Brady to the ground. He tackled him around the waist and brought him down. There's a difference. Chris Jones, in that game against the Raiders, he took the ball away from Derek Carr with his right hand, so Derek Carr no longer is the protection of a passer because you need to have the ball to be a passer. And then as he's falling down, he realizes, oh, crap, my whole body weight's going to go down on a Derek Carr. I'll reach out with my left arm and brace the impact. That's literally teaching tape. Like, every defensive coordinator would say, this is what you need to do in this scenario. And somehow that was roughing the passer. So Mike Vrabel is the hero we need right now.
Big time. So, Trey, on that note, do you think that there should be the ability to review roughing the passer?
I think there should, but even if they allow it, let's go back to when they said you could review pass interference, right? I think it was a Texans-Ravens game that year where literally Marlon Humphrey, I think, stripped DeAndre Hopkins naked in the end zone. And they, you know, it was so blatantly obvious that was pass interference, and they challenged it, and it still wasn't called pass interference. They're just not going to do it. I'll tell you this along the lines. I think the Kansas City Chiefs proposal a few years ago of there being a sky judge is the greatest idea in the world. Because the officials don't see the game, guys, the way we do. They see it on a linear level. We see it on sort of a 180, 360 level. You know, we see the game differently. There's a former NFL official who I've worked with in the past who said when he was working, he thought, man, we do a really good job. And then he started working in television and watched the game the way we watched, and he said, we are awful at this, okay? They don't get to see the game the way we do, the way the fans see it on television. It's completely different, and I just wish they would allow the officials to be helped, because then if they see the game the way everyone else sees it, they'll realize, well, that wasn't right, and it makes them better, and everybody's so afraid they're going to be, you know, it's going to pick on the refs. We want to help them. You know, it's like Jerry Maguire, help me help you.
Yes.
Let's do this together.
All right, let's finish on this. Your thoughts on the Colts as you see it now. This is obviously a huge swing game for the Titans, trying to figure out how to stay in control of the AFC South, hold off the younger Jags, still be better than the Colts, even though the Titans look like they've got plenty of issues. But it looks like the Colts have issues as well.
But they do, and they start with the offensive line. I mean, you know, the first couple of games I was like, man, Matt Ryan is completely terrible. He's washed. And then I started watching again. I'm like, he's under constant duress, like constant duress. And the last couple of games, the numbers he's put up, like outside of that Thursday night debacle, which was just the worst, I think he's actually playing pretty well. He's slinging it all over the yard. I think he's second in passing yards right now in the NFL. The Colts get Jonathan Taylor back. That's massive for them. Their biggest issue is offensive line. And if you guys can get to the quarterback, which is obviously missing Harold Landry is such a big deal, but Jeffrey Simmons is a big part of this. So if they can keep constant pressure on Matt Ryan, I think the Tennessee Titans win this game.
He's Trey Wingo with Caesars, Half Forgotten Histories, the podcast, the Pro Football Network as well. Trey, always enjoy the chats. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Yep.
Trey Wingo joining us, talking some NFL. Always enjoy talking some ball with him. We'll continue that discussion on the Titans and the Colts coming up next. But coming at the bottom of the hour, your chance to win Luke Combs tickets with Ask D-Mace. The best question. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium, but you got to bring it at the bottom of the hour with Ask D-Mace. Be sure to play Silly Underdog Picks. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week outright for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or go on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. If only we were broadcasting during the break. The things you would hear. Things you would see.
There's shocking news out of Tampa.
Shocking news out of Tampa. Appreciate Trey Wingo.
Julio Jones ruled out on Sunday.
So what a wow. Are you kidding me?
Julio Jones is on Sunday.
I am shocked that is happening. What are they going to do? That Julio Jones is not available to play. That is so wow.
I was looking at it. You ever see that? You're just looking at Twitter and it says trending and it's got several things listed or whatever. And it said Julio Jones. Like, oh, what's going on with Julio Jones? And the first thing is a shocker. Julio Jones ruled out for Sunday. He got hurt in the second game. For those that have not been following, he's got 5 catches for 69 yards on the season.
Nice.
But, I'm sorry, 4 catches, 69 yards on the season.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry, 76 yards.
Oh, not nice.
He got hurt in the second game, hasn't been back. It is interesting. The first game, the Sunday night game, Tampa versus Dallas, he actually had a good game. And Chris Collins was talking about all these things. And it just shows you how dangerous it can be to sort of go out on a limb and say, look at the offseason pickups. Look at these offseason moves these team makes. And it looks great early on, and you're thinking, wow, this could really work. And then 4 weeks later, you're like, what an idiot I sounded like for throwing that out there. Chris Collins was talking about the conversation that Tom Brady had over the offseason and called Julio Jones, hey, come here. We'll make it work. We need you. We're looking for receivers. Julio Jones got with the TB12 products, and he's in great shape. And then 2 weeks later, he's in the same boat that he was all of last season with the Titans. Now, there's still a long way to go. Maybe Julio Jones will come back at some point, but it looks like the same song.
Yeah, look, he's not same he's a old, same old. But what he was saying about Tom Brady too was interesting. Trey Wingo, I mean,
and he has a point in this because, and I'm only speaking from experience. My last year with the Jets, last half year. One, I didn't get into camp until a little late. But then two, I got, we would play on Sunday. I got to leave Monday, but had to be back Wednesday just to fly back to Nashville to be with the family. He's right. That's sort of retirement in itself right there.
Yeah.
That's retired. Like
he's
you
retired,
are,
but he's
yeah,
still
you're phasing mentally, you're phasing into that retirement because it's like, okay, I have to, you know, my family wants me to retire, but I want to play another year. So I'm a sort of be, you know, come to a middle ground. Everybody comes to a middle ground. I play, but I come home, you know, these days. You know, it'll get agreed upon before you sign a contract that, yeah, you can go home on these days. You don't have to be here. But just make sure you be back before Wednesday's practice. So he's right from that aspect. Tom may be in sort of retirement mode anyway, but I just can't see him.
Isn't he like one of the guys in the league, though, that you could see actually being able to pull that off and be successful?
Well, he's from a number standpoint, statistic standpoint, he is pulling it off.
Right.
To a degree.
Yeah, but the team is not good enough. But I'm saying the team is not good enough around him for him to be able to do that.
It is interesting, though, that you know Trey's bringing something up there that you probably won't hear big-time media. They won't even go mm-hmm. down that road. Like he just said it pretty bluntly. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of like a possible conversation that could be going on. Well, Tom, if you were there on Wednesday,
yeah,
maybe we would have scored 28 points instead of 18 points. Maybe we would have had a couple of touchdowns in the red zone. You know, and he brought up going to Bob Kraft's wedding. Uh-huh. You know, that these are the privileges that the Bucks sort of agreed to say, okay, uh-huh. if you want to keep playing here, we're going to make some concessions. So we still have Tom Brady as our quarterback. Mm-hmm. But these are fair questions.
They are.
To bring up there. And you're right. Tom Brady hasn't been bad at all. We were talking about his numbers yesterday. They're actually better than you would think for a team that's 3-3. But I wonder internally mm-hmm. how much of that is out there. Like, you respect Tom Brady so much. He's the greatest of all time. You can't question what he's doing at all. But also, I kind of see the point.
But I think that's why what's called is not head coach anymore.
Bruce Arians?
Yeah.
He didn't want to play the Jordan rules kind of thing?
I think Bruce Arians would have, I think he would have, or he was like, listen, we can't, I understand what y'all saying about Tom and his days, but if we want to win, that can't be the case.
He didn't like special treatment.
Exactly. I'm not giving special treatment, so I'm not going to be the coach because I'm not going to, this is not what I do. You know, if y'all want to name somebody else head coach and keep me around, that's great. But as a head coach, I can't get on board with this. As great as Tom Brady is, I can't get on board with it.
Well, look, I think that's how you're going to get him to play next year, whether it's for Tampa or somebody else.
Yeah.
That they're going to basically, you're going to know that he comes with a special set of rules. Mm-hmm. And every other guy, all the other 52 guys in that locker room are going to have to be cool with it, or they're going to have to pretend to be cool with it.
Yeah.
But
you better be winning.
But he holds the cards.
Yeah.
Because Tom can go like, look, I'm going to walk into a team that could win a Super Bowl right now. All they're missing is me.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all are going to do it my way. And if you don't, I'm not going to play. Because I got my rings, I got my money, and I'm cool. I'll go to Fox.
And this is not a bad – I'm not saying this in a bad way, but that's the arrogance of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's just – you know.
But he's kind of earned it, Derek.
That's why I'm saying, like, listen, arrogance to a certain extent, okay? Just because you've earned it don't mean you need to be arrogant. But his arrogance is like, listen, I will be ready. You know, y'all are one guy away from winning a Super Bowl? Me. So these are things that I need in order to come here. But it is sort of the, you know what, either you take it or leave it.
Yep. And it, does the good outweigh the bad?
Exactly.
Like, I'll give you something that just popped into my head where it just wasn't worth it in retrospect. When Michael Jordan went to the Wizards, he came back. I'm sure there were concessions and like, hey, I'll come back. And whatever was going on, it just didn't work.
He was a part owner. That was one reason he did it, because he had ownership in the team.
Yeah, but yeah. It didn't work out.
No, but I'm sure there was a lot of
deferring. If you go look at
deferring.
His first year, it wasn't awful.
Like we had a conversation a while back. I think it was probably during the pandemic. But we talked to Jerry Stackhouse about what it was like playing with Michael Jordan. And his answer had a little bit of, I was the younger player. I was the more talented player. But we sort of had to defer to Michael. And he wasn't quite what he was in the heyday of the Bulls. So I don't know if it's gotten there yet with Tom Brady. But I'm sure that it's not easy for a player to play when there's a guy that misses everything on Wednesday, right? Okay. It's the whole rest of the team has to adjust around all that
stuff.
You can't say anything about it. Nope. That was Jerry's answer with the Jordan thing. He said, I couldn't really say anything. It's Michael Jordan.
Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts for The Athletic, said Frank Reich has said Shaq Leonard passed concussion protocol, but the Colts are going to hold him out on Sunday to allow him to get all the way back after 2 weeks of inactivity. Reich says it's protecting the player from the player, so no Shaq Leonard. Regarding Jonathan Taylor, everything points to him playing right now. Not yet official, but he's practiced all week.
Well, he's playing. Yeah. If he's practiced all week, he's playing.
He's playing. The question is, what version is he? What percent is he? He's not used to missing games, but
exactly.
That's a big, big guy to have in there.
Coming up next, Ask D-Mace, and on the line, a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April 15th. You must bring it. You must ask questions to Derek. You can call. You can text. Both are eligible for this at 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace coming up next, but first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, QC Kinetics, very important that you hear this message if you've been suffering from some joint pain that's kept you from doing the things you love to do. You've heard my message about QC Kinetics. They've got the breakthrough regenerative medicine, the treatments that have been available only to world-class athletes for years, but now they're available to everybody. Thanks to QC Kinetics, who now have clinics in three different places, Nashville, Clarksville, and Murfreesboro. So there should be one near you, depending on where you're listening right now. So listen up. If you've been having the pain in your knees, hips, shoulder, back, whatever joint we're talking about here, they use natural biologics at QC Kinetics, healing agents from your own body. They restore and repair the damaged joint tissue. You've heard some of the firsthand accounts that we play on our radio station. You could be the next person. Appointments are available as soon as next week with a free consultation. Call QC Kinetics and learn how modern precision medicine can help you deal with pain caused by arthritis or injury without drugs or surgery. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is presented by Derek Mason. Brought to you by Derek Mason.
Absolutely.
I don't know how else. Sponsored by Derek Mason.
And this is Derek Mason.
Yes, it is. 615-737-1025. You can call. You can text. The best question will win a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on April 15th. Cannot wait for that. You know, I mean, we're talking about all this stadium stuff. Go enjoy some concerts at Nissan Stadium in the open air before the new palace comes along here in the next few years. But you must bring it. 615-737-1025. All right, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shane is first up. Shane in the borough. D-Mace, after a professional athlete gets the big contract, do they actually let off the gas a little and not play as hard as they did to get the big payday, or is that just a misconception by the fans? That's a good question.
That is a good question. I've seen some guys. I'm not going to say they, judging by their play, it wasn't the same when they signed that big contract. You know, but you have a bunch of guys that do sign huge deals and, you know, they continue to play out, you know, their career, but you know eventually they will be on the decline of that big contract because they're getting older. I've seen guys that sign big contracts and then a year later get hurt. I mean, we just saw one here, Harold Landry, signs a huge contract. He ends up getting hurt, the very next camp. As far as me, I only knew one way to play, you know, and that was to go out there and you know, play 100%. Because I never wanted to be that guy that they looked around in the locker room and said, oh, he got the money, now look at him.
Right.
You know, it's like I'm going to work even harder to justify the pay raise you gave me because I'm going to want some more.
But, okay, so you don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like back in your day,
uh-huh.
Somebody like Bruce Matthews would get in your face and be like, hey, I don't care how much money you're making. You better go out there and play.
Yeah, guys.
And I don't know if that really happens as much anymore. Maybe it does. I could be wrong. But I kind of felt like the locker room policed itself from that back in the day.
Yeah, the locker room had no space for that type of person, at least the locker room I was a part of here in Nashville and in Baltimore. We didn't have especially here, because we were all so young and grew up in this thing together here in Nashville. We didn't have no place for this sort of, you know, you thinking you're better than because you make X amount of dollars now. No, we all are in here for one common goal, and that's to win a Super Bowl. I don't care if you're Steve McNair making X amount of dollars or you're, you know, the third stringer, you know, making minimum, you know, league minimum. We all are in this for the same reason, and that's to win the Super Bowl. So our locker room was much different. We didn't have – we knew who the big money guys were, but they didn't act like the big money guys, you know.
Right.
They went about their business. They wanted to go out and do whatever they could to help the team win. And it was the same when I signed my second contract. It was like, man, listen, I signed my contract, and I end up signing it here, went to the office, signed it. I went home and we just relaxed the whole day. And it was like it didn't hit us that now you got a bunch of money. It never hit us. And that's good because I think because of the locker room, one, obviously because of the way that I was raised and Marcy was raised. But then two, the locker room didn't operate that way. You know, so it was like, all right, just come in and, you know, I might have to buy lunch now, you know, for a few of the fellas. But that's really about it. Buy some donuts. But that's it.
I don't know. I don't know how I would be because I've never been in that position. I know that.
Now, I will tell you how you would be, Chase. This is real talk. I've seen you enough to know that money don't make you a bad person or a you know what. It's already in you.
Yeah.
The money just gives you the excuse to make it all come out.
Right.
You're not that person. That's right. Like saying Willie, if he won a lottery and got like $100 million, he would still be Coach Willie. Now, sure, he may not be here anymore, but he still would be Coach Willie, you know?
What I would be is I like stuff. Uh-huh. Like I like electronics. Like, so
yeah,
I'd
just be up on
that. I'd walk in gadgets. Best Buy and go buy a new laptop, even though I just got one like 6 months ago. Like I'd be, that's where I'd worry that I'd blow it
up. But
all.
I'm saying like your personality, who you are to the core, it wouldn't change.
No.
You know, so who I was to the core was like, all right, I got a little money now, but I still got to go out there and play. You know, I still enjoy doing this. So
I'll still be me. All right, let's read another one from our text line. 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace. Luke Combs tickets on the line. Make sure you put your name when you text in.
Please do.
With Oilers weekend coming up, I'm wondering what your teammates' thoughts were playing in Nashville versus Houston. Was the locker room happy to leave Houston in the first few years? You came in that same year, so you likely heard everyone's opinions.
A lot of guys that were in that Houston era, when we came here, a lot of those guys were gone. Like that,
Steve and Eddie were there.
I'm saying they had spent a significant amount of time, years. Eddie was there. Steve got drafted 2 years before I did. Eddie got drafted 3 years before I did, I believe. Or was it vice versa?
No. Were 97?
Yeah, I was 97. Steve was 98.
So Eddie was 95.
Yep.
Steve was 96. So Steve was only a year.
Yeah, he was only a year.
Steve played 1 year in Houston.
Exactly. So those guys were not in Houston that long. You know, B-Hop, who got drafted.
No, I have that reverse. You're right. I have that reverse. Steve was 95. Eddie was 96.
So it's still, they were like 3 years in, 2 years in. So they didn't, it's not like they spent like Bruce Matthews. They spent, you know, 8 years, 9 years there before moving here. But a lot of those guys that did spend a significant amount of time with the Houston Oilers, well, they didn't come here. There were a few, but not all of them. So when we got here, I mean, you had some guys that still was making that transition. You know, family probably was still in Houston and had to move them down here. But we didn't hear a lot of it. You know, you heard some of it of, you know, this is what we had in Houston. Because you got to understand, they were coming from a big city, a huge city, to a very small city. So some of the things they were able to do with their family and going out and stuff in Houston, they were not able to do here. Why? Because there was not much here. So I think guys had to make an adjustment. Even I had to make an adjustment coming from Detroit to Nashville. It was like, okay, now I got to make this adjustment because, you know, the South is nothing like the North and Detroit is nothing like Nashville. So, but I didn't hear a lot of it. I mean, you heard guys here and there, but eventually it became all Nashville guys after a while.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Janelle has a question for Derek Mason. Welcome in.
Hi. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, if you feel he's pretty much checking out or if you feel that he could turn things around with the team.
Thank you, Janelle.
Thanks, Janelle.
Can he turn things around? Not by himself, not with this group. I think if it gets turned around, these guys need to start playing and playing a lot better. But here's the problem that I have with and I said this to you guys the other day, off air, I believe. This is the problem I have with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, you knew good and well that $50 million per year you were taking was going to cause you to lose players that you desperately needed. And what has happened? I don't know why these quarterbacks doesn't take the Tom Brady approach. The Tom Brady approach has afforded him six rings. Is it six or seven?
Six.
Six rings.
I think, right?
The Tom Brady approach has taken him, has gotten him six rings. You know what that approach is? Listen, I know I can sit in this room and be the highest paid player in the National Football League ever. But I don't want that. I want to win championships. I'm going to get the money. I want to win championships.
It is seven. Holy cow.
Yeah, seven.
Six with the Patriots.
So Aaron Rodgers doesn't think that way. He doesn't. That's why he took that $50 million. And I don't feel sad for him. I'm not one bit. So if he can't turn it around, he needs to point at himself.
I just, as we'll get more of your calls coming up next in text, 615-737-1025. Luke Combe tickets on the line for Ask D-Mace. Outkick just posted that Lane Kiffin, I guess, said that he's not afraid to admit that he loves Taylor Swift's music. Mm-hmm. Lane, I'm with you, man. Like, it's okay. It's okay.
Hey,
T-Swizzle got the new Midnight's album. I haven't listened to it yet, but, you know, I'm all about it. So
no.
Me and the Lane – shut up. Me and the Lane train. We are all about it. More questions for Derek Mason. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. It's Ask D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Yes, my segment is back. Ask D. Mace. 102.5 Willie, Chase, D. Mace, my segment. Whatever question you ask, whatever question you have, bring it on. And the lines are filling up. I'm telling you. I got people wanting to ask me just about everything. Now, it has to be a question that can be radio, can be aired over these radio waves, okay?
I mean, it's not like a bad one, but you know.
But I mean, I can't sit here and answer that. My kids could be listening,
man.
That's
true. That's true. By the way, I got like I'm literally about to speak, and Nick's like, "No, let Derek bring it back." I'm like, "Oh, okay." I get it. I'm not.
Look,
I'm
you got to let him do his thing.
Let's get this caller.
Yeah,
up
we got it. We got to move.
You,
we need to go. No huddle offense because we're short on time. We got a lot of people that are asking D-Mace important questions.
Absolutely. Let's get Bryce on the line. Bryce, what you got to ask me, brother?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm all right. Hey, don't call me sir, man. I'm not old enough to be a sir yet.
There you go.
All right. So I actually have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, who is your favorite teammate of all time and why, even going back to Mumford High School?
Ooh.
I'm sorry. And my other question is, what was the secret other than just your random conditioning to your longevity? It's hard to play 15 years in the NFL.
Okay, you're absolutely right about that, goodness gracious. Thank you for the call, Bryce. Best teammate ever. I don't know. I can't answer that, man.
It's got to be a hard question for you.
It's a hard question for me to answer, you know, whether it's, you know, it's Chris Sanders, Kevin Dyson, Steve, Eddie, Ed Reed, Mark Clayton, Joe Stevens back in when I was in high school. I've had a lot of great teammates, so I'm sorry I can't really truly answer that question.
Who taught you something that you will never forget?
Chris Sanders. Okay. Chris Sanders. Yep, he taught me that. You know, hey, listen, when you walk into this building, you know, don't allow what the coaches are doing or saying to steal the joy you have for this game. Because once it's gone, and you can't get it back. Because I was going through a rough point, you know, professionally trying to figure out where I fit and, you know, why am I not playing? And he told me that, and he was absolutely right. And from that point on, I just went out there and enjoyed myself and had fun. Secret to longevity, I was just truly blessed. It was nothing. I conditioned myself as if, you know, I never took – it was like my off season was give me a week or two off, and I was back at it again. I wanted to condition myself so much that when I got in season, it was easy for me. So in regards to what I did, that's all I did. But everything else, it was just a blessing, man. I'm not a big guy, and I got hit by a bunch of big guys. And, you know, I can't say anything other than it was just truly a blessing that I played that long.
615-737-1025. Willie, what we got on the text line?
Kristen asked D-Mace, what was the best Halloween costume you had as a kid?
That's a good one.
As a kid, we didn't, you know, a bad part, when you have seven kids, you don't got costumes, man. You make up things. You just,
Did you ever have just like a creative one that just kind of threw together that worked for you?
Those are
kind of the best. I remember we used to
go get the things, the vampire teeth.
Yeah?
Yeah, and put the vampire teeth on.
Throw a sheet on or a robe or something.
Exactly, and now I'm Count Dracula or Count Blackula. That's who I was. There you go.
Count Blackula.
He's the goat. The goat.
Hit me with another one, Willie.
All right. This guy must be from Buffalo secretly. It's Mike from Clarksville. In your opinion, was the Music City Miracle a legal play? You can speak truthful. Did Frank throw it backwards?
Frankie, my man, he did throw it backwards.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely, he did.
Come on.
Collateral.
It's a legal play, man.
Come on. What kind of question is that?
Not a forward pass.
Okay. We've got, unfortunately, unnamed texter. We might have to make a rule. You got to put your name in to get a chance to win. What's the process of creating a new play? Let's say midseason.
Mm-hmm.
How does a new play get created? Is it entirely the OC, a collaboration of offensive coaches, or the QB or other player groups consulted? So, how do you come up with a new play?
I think it first starts in with the coordinator and the quarterback, and a quarterback's coach. You know, they figure out, okay, what's the best way to sort of get X guy open or this guy open, or the defense that we're playing, what have they had trouble with? Okay, they've had trouble with this. Let's design it. If we don't have that play in our playbook, somehow let's design this play that's in the same formation with the same personnel that we may have run another play in to try to disguise it. So we're going to design it that way. A lot of new plays just come off the backs of some old plays, and you may call it different, but you try to line up sort of the same so they think it's one play. But in actuality, it's a whole new play. But in this league, there's not many new plays anymore. It's just how do you run them? I mean, what package are you running them out of? Personnel.
You ready for another one?
Yep.
All right. Here's one, and I got to go back and get the name. We got so many. This is great. Landon from Smyrna.
Mm-hmm.
Constant debate going about the GOAT. Mm-hmm. LeBron, MJ, you know, current versus past. So he wants to ask about the receivers of this era, like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, some of the great talents we're seeing now, Cooper Kupp, mm-hmm. versus the best of your era, Marvin Harrison, yourself, Randy Moss, Ocho Cinco. So what's different about the game now, and so which receiver group would you take?
The difference is the rules have changed. I think had Marvin Harrison played in this new football, he would be closer to Jerry Rice's numbers. If Jerry Rice played in this new football, his numbers would be even better than what they are.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of great receivers that played in my era. And there are some really good ones. My thing is, I like to determine it by how many years have you done it. Don't just give me 1 year, 2 years. You got to be consistent in what you're doing. That's why I love Nuke so much, man. Hopkins and Evans for Tampa. Those guys, man, they've been doing it for a long time. And all of a sudden, these new kids coming and making these fantastic catches and all this other stuff. And people just forget about how consistently dominant these guys continue to be. You know? So, I mean, football has changed. I think these guys now, they can play in the era I played in, but they may not play as long.
Yeah, it might be a little tougher,
too.
Yeah,
it might be a little bit tougher, but they can play.
All right, we got John. It's a good one here. Are you ready for this? If ESPN offered you your own segment like Randy Moss has, you got maced. Would you do it? Instead of you got mossed, the segment is you got maced. Would you do it, and what would it be?
Would I do it? Absolutely. Y'all would have to be a part of it.
You know the answer to that.
Yeah, y'all
but I want to know, like,
if
you had to put it together, like, what would be a you got maced?
I don't know, man. Just route running. Just killed you with my route running. Just made you look
foolish. I like that.
I think that's how he was.
Yeah. So, there you go.
He was an aggressive route runner. Let's go to Jerry real quick.
I think we need
line.
To call ESPN. Let's make this happen. We know people
it.
Over there.
We do.
Let's
we
get Hassel back
go.
On. Let's go.
Let's do it. Jerry, welcome into Ask Demons.
Who was the one that was the most influential on not only your playing career, but your radio career?
Playing career, not only playing career,
thanks,
radio career. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it. Most influential in my playing career. I mean, I pick a lot of people. I mean, you know, honestly, it's my brothers. They were, because the aggressiveness and the passion that I played with stemmed from the way they beat me up and pushed me down. But it was they never allowed me to quit or walk away while we were playing. It was an aggressive mentality. And that's the mentality I took in high school. That's the mentality I took in college. And that's the mentality I took in the NFL. So my brothers, they had a lot to do with that. Now, what was the second part?
In broadcasting.
Oh, broadcasting. You guys, man. I mean, I've been started this with y'all. I mean,
yeah.
You know, with Darren and you know, Willie and Chase, you were behind the window.
I escaped.
Exactly. But y'all guys helped me out, because you got to remember, I came into this and the Preds were in the midst of their run.
Yep.
So it was like, man, I'm not jumping in during football season, which would have been easier. I'm jumping in hockey season. And just to sort of get that tutelage from you guys, from you, Willie, from Darren, from Chase in the back, you know, you guys have been influential to me. But then watching Plaz and listening to Plaz and stuff like that. So I like all the guys around here, man. I enjoy listening to
them. I'll never forget the first ever Darren and Derek. That was the midday show.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited because our first guest was Jeff Fisher.
Ah.
Who was then with the Rams.
Yeah. Like, I told him about Cookie.
Player.
Cookie was a good player.
Coming up next, speaking of good players and former teammates of Derek, Eddie George, TSU head coach, going to join us. Coming up here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville. Calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.